This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. A film adaptation of the young adult novel The Fault in Our Stars easily thumped the competition at the box office this past weekend. Its success was nearly guaranteed, says our guest Ruth Graham, who's been assailed for an article she wrote for the Slate Book Review. In it, Graham observes the growing number of adults reading YA novels, and here's the kicker, says that adults should be embarrassed about reading literature for children. She's here to tell us more. Ruth, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thanks so much.
Nice to have you back. You are, of course, not the first critic to dismiss YA as juvenilia, but triggered quite a lot of rage. What do you think?
Well, I think it was that line, you know, that adults should be embarrassed. And as I learned this week,
people really
do not like to be told that they should be embarrassed. And I have to say, you know, that line is probably, I won't go so far as to say I regret it, but I am regretful that that's the line that has attracted this rage that I think has kind of distracted from the broader and, more moderate point that I really wanted to make, which is just that we should kind of step back and think about what it means that adults are now spending so much of their time consuming so much of this literature that was written for children.
How much?
Well, there's about 50% of the YA market now that that is bought by adults. 50% of YA books are bought by adults. So it's remarkable.
I want to boil this down here. Clarify that we're talking about books like, let's say, Eleanor and Park. That's a big one. Mm-hmm. If I Stay, The Perks of Being a Wallflower.
Exactly.
Those are all big YA books. Now, is it for you that YA is not meant for adults, or it's not good literature, or both, or...
Well, it's certainly not that it's not good literature, but it is that it's written, by definition, is written for children under the age of 18. I mean, children has its own definition, but in this case, I'm talking about not adults. So one question is whether or not it's as sophisticated as the most sophisticated adult literature. And I should also clarify that I'm sort of leaving out the whole fantasy genre. I'm not talking about The Hunger Games. I'm not talking about Harry Potter. I'm talking about stories about real teenagers who are involved in sort of real life situations and that could plausibly be said to be replacing realistic fiction, adult literary fiction in the lives of adult readers. I don't think there's zero place for it in the lives of adult readers, but I do think we should think of it as a little bit of a guilty pleasure. I don't think it's as sophisticated as the best literary fiction.
Well, why not? Why no Hunger Games? Why no fantasy dystopian novels?
Well, my sense is that no one confuses The Hunger Games for great literature. So that's sort of – it's something that people read for fun. They read on the beach, and that's what it is, and no one's confused about that. Books like The Fault in Our Stars, this quote-unquote realistic fiction genre, I feel like there is starting to be some confusion and some blurred lines there between that particular genre of YA literature and adult literary fiction. It's the stuff that could be replacing it.
But readers argue they connect with it. So it is a kind of guilty pleasure for people. What's wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with a guilty pleasure in its place. And I'm certainly not saying, or I think it's worth clarifying that the idea of a guilty pleasure has never been about people, you know, staying up all night worrying or like self-flagellating or just really feeling oppressive shame about the cultural products they're consuming. The point is that when you're consuming a guilty pleasure, you're aware that you're sort of indulging in something lighter and fluffier and more purely fun and maybe less enriching, all these sort of loaded judgmental terms, but then what you could be consuming. So, for instance, I read detective novels, which I think of as a guilty pleasure because they're formulaic and there's this guaranteed satisfying ending, and they're a lot of fun, but I'm also aware as I'm reading them that it's a bit of an indulgence. And if anything, that adds to the pleasure, and that's great in its place. But I don't like this creeping sense that, and which a lot of my very smart girlfriends have told me who love YA, you know, oh, you've got to read this book and it's just sort of just as rich and just as sophisticated.
That is one of the points that I read, or an accusation of you in response, that you painted it with too wide of a brush and that there are a lot of great YA novels.
Well, I have to say, I read that criticism, too, and I thought about it. And I'd read more books, I will say, in preparation for writing the piece. I read more books than those I called out in the piece. But I did, there was one of these response pieces that was an anti-YA list of, you know, let's make this list of rich, complex literary fiction that will sort of prove, you know, here's the good stuff that Ruth didn't read. And I read one of them this weekend and tried to read with an open mind and give it a fair shot. And I thought the same thing that I thought when I was reading The Fault in Our Stars, which is this is a perfectly lovely book that's written for 13-year-olds. It was a very easy read, and it had a nice surprise ending. I don't want to call it out by name, because my point is not to bash YA authors or teenagers or even anyone who reads YA occasionally. I'm not out to bash specific books, but I will just say that reading this one particular book that I'll leave unnamed didn't convince me that it wasn't written for tweens.
We're talking about a debate that erupted online over whether adults should be proudly reading young adult fiction. And with me, the woman who started this tempest, Ruth Graham. So is it that people read YA novels, Ruth, or is it that there's a kind of pride that has turned what was once secretly consumed into a kind of public movement?
I think that's exactly it. Part of the reason I decided to write this is this creeping sense, I guess, or this creeping mood I'm getting from the culture where reading is reading is reading. And anything, there's no such thing as an indulgence, because a book is a book is a book. And it's sort of rude to try to make distinctions between them or to say that one kind of book is more sophisticated than another. And I guess I do think there are such things as bad books. And again, I'm to be clear, I'm not saying that all YA novels are bad novels, but I don't think that a book is a book is a book. I think it's possible to say there's high and low still, which is quickly becoming an old-fashioned idea.
What it calls to mind is this larger trend of questioning what is adult. I mean, more than half of YA books bought by those over 18. The majority of comic books and video games are purchased by adults. We wear sneakers to work. We ride skateboards. We want to hear all the newest bands. Is it that youth culture is just taking over?
I think that's absolutely part of it. Someone said to me after I published this, you know, you should next do a takedown of adults who vacation in Disneyland without kids. And I think it's absolutely part of that phenomenon. And I don't want to wade too deep into just sort of waving a wand over all of that and condemning all of it. People find fun where they find fun. But I think it's absolutely part of that larger trend.
Well, so in considering this YA genre in general, you know, you have the happy ending and the bad people, bad things happen to them. The good people, good things happen to them. That's the kind of logic of this universe. And I was thinking about books that I have read about, teenagers and young adults over and over again. Nearly everything by Jane Austen. Definitely Jane Eyre and Wuthering Heights from the Bronte sisters. And I have been, taken to task mostly by a particular ex-boyfriend about, you know, you're reading books for girls.
Yeah, there's a long history of, cultural authorities, often men, telling women and children, I guess, you know, that their reading isn't up to snuff and isn't serious enough. And if you go back to the 19th century, there are people saying that all novels are just women's fluff. I certainly don't agree with that. But I would say that just because that history exists, and I do think that's feeding into some of the backlash to this article, doesn't mean there's no such thing as fluff or that we can't make distinctions. So I love Wuthering Heights. I love Jane Eyre. I don't want to throw those onto the bonfire. I think they're significantly richer than a lot of the contemporary YA fiction that's out there.
You've just hinted at the kind of population that reads YA, which is probably why people are upset. Mm-hmm. But I did notice some themes in the responses. YA gave me a lifeline when I was younger that no one else gave to me. I was made to feel ashamed. This is my defiantly unpretentious reading list. It connects me to a younger self. Anything come across to you that made you reconsider why people boldly and proudly read YA?
Yeah, I mean, you've hit on a lot of themes there that have come up over and over, which is pleasure, which we've talked about, nostalgia, comfort, catharsis. And far be it from me to tell anyone that those are not valid reasons for reading. But I would say the same thing, you know, in a way it's like swimming in the kiddie pool and only swimming in the kiddie pool. It's fine in its place, but when we take a look around at the culture and more adults are spending all of this time in the kiddie pool, I just don't know if it makes me a rabid elitist to be a little bit discouraged by that.
I'm willing to bet that a number of writers, readers, and book reviewers would agree with you, but may not dare to say so now. Do you think the response to your article might have a chilling effect on criticizing YA?
Boy, I can only imagine. I have to tell you, I've gotten, you know, there's been a lot of public anger, and I've gotten some very supportive private emails from smart people I respect a lot who've sort of said, you know, thanks for saying what a lot of us are scared to say. So I hope there's not a chilling effect. I hope it starts a conversation about the place of YA in our culture.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Freelance writer Ruth Graham wrote the article Against YA for the Slate Book Review, and we'll probably be hearing about it for a long time. There's a link to read it and some responses at wordofmouthradio.org. Well, what about you? Do you think YA novels are just as worthwhile and literary as grown-up books? Are they more than a guilty pleasure? Or do you roll your eyes at seeing so many adults reading books meant for the 12 to 17 crowd? You can let us know on our Facebook page, facebook.com/wordofmouthradio. That's where the conversation is already heating up. Siding with the YA crowd is Kevin, who references The Hobbit, A Wrinkle in Time, and Watership Down. Jamie agrees, saying, who cares, so long as somebody is reading. Jill thinks Ruth's argument is snobbish, joyless, and old. Ouch. Jessica, on the other hand, says she is not impressed with the better-than-reading-nothing argument, saying that there are so many books aimed at adults that could do a better job raising the level of discourse and vocabulary. You can weigh in with your thoughts at facebook.com/wordofmouthradio. And while we've got YA on the brain, we thought it was worth mentioning that while Ruth may not think the tearjerker teen novel The Fault in Our Stars can stand shoulder to shoulder with adult literary fiction, the movie adaptation is blowing up the box office, and critics are on board. The film boasts an admirable 82% fresh rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
One day I'm going to blow up, and I'm going to obliterate everything in my wake, and I don't want to hurt you.
You don't get to choose if you get hurt in this world, but you do have a say in who hurts you.
I am in love with you, Hazel Grace.
Among the dissenters who were less enthused with the movie is Dana Stevens of Slate, who said, what in the name of God is wrong with me that I didn't cry once? I, who just the day before wept through the entirety of my child's thoroughly upbeat school play.